All right. Well, that is part of the good news, right? That we have a hope that this is not the end. And part of that hope comes from the fact that God is on mission. God sent his Son into the world. The Son sent his Holy Spirit into the world, and he also sent us, his church, into the world. And so we gather this morning to worship because this love of God has found us, and we are now a part of his story, his sending story. One of the ways we as a church live into that is by partnering with others in our mission. And one couple that works in that regard is... So the last couple weeks, then, we've been talking about being a family on mission. A family on mission, not just a family that does missions occasionally or that has a missions team or goes on missions, but we're a family on mission. But what does that mean? What does that look like? That's what we really want to explore. One of the things we see clearly in the scripture is, like Paul and Silas, it means wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can be the light of Christ. We can share the love of Christ with others, as many of you already are. But it also means partnering together to bring God's love to life in the greater Lafayette area, to make Jesus famous, as Tom said. And that's what the city outreach team is going to be facilitating for us. Well, what does that look like? How do we partner together in this area? This morning we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1 to see an example of really what being a family on mission looked like for Paul. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. If you remember, Philippi is in Macedonia, or what is now modern-day Italy. We looked at Acts 16 a couple weeks ago, where Paul went to Philippi. He was called by the Holy Spirit to go to Philippi, and he helped Lydia, a woman there, to believe in Christ. He also drove a demon out of a slave girl, and she became a follower of Jesus. And through the earthquake and all that excitement, he led the jailer and his family to believe in Jesus. So that was the beginning of the church in Philippi. And so now, these years later, the church is a thriving church. Paul's writing this letter to them from prison. We don't know where he's in prison. It doesn't really say. But we would guess that it's either in Caesarea, which was about 60 miles north of Jerusalem, because he was imprisoned there as he was being tried by Felix, the governor of Judea. Or he may be in Rome because he appealed to Caesar and went to Rome and was imprisoned there as well. But it's a very warm and gushy letter. Yep, gushy. He's very warm and fuzzy with these folks. He loves them. And so a lot of it is very personal. But he writes to thank them for their support, for their partnership with him. He writes to update them on what's happening with him, that he's doing okay. The church in Philippi had sent a messenger to Paul named Epaphroditus, and he brought gifts to them. So he wanted to thank them for those gifts, but also to let them know Epaphroditus apparently almost died. And, you know, they don't have internet or email or... So they didn't know what had happened to Epaphroditus. So he writes to let them know that everything's okay, he's doing fine. He's also writing to address some disunity that's in the church, some things that are troubling him because they're not as united as they could be. So let's read this text this morning from Philippians chapter 1. Scoot over here. Sorry, I'm in your way. And we'll read the first 18 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So Holy Spirit, once again, we pray for your work in our hearts to soften us, to help us to hear and to understand more of what you have called Riverside to be and to do for your glory. Amen. First thing I want us to notice here is that Paul writes to all the saints in verse 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And this is a significant, he's not just writing to the leaders, he adds the leaders in, but he's saying this is to all of you. And what he gives thanks to them for, above all, is their partnership. To all the saints in Christ, grace and peace to you. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first day the church was born until this point, he says, they have been partners. And the word here is koinonia, probably a Greek word you've heard before. It refers to sharing together. Fellowship is how we translate it oftentimes, or partnering. And we know they partnered with Paul in a number of ways. They sent gifts, like I had mentioned earlier. They supported his ministry financially. They encouraged him. They prayed for him. But he's also talking about the partnership they had in the work of the gospel, in their own local setting in Philippi. That the whole church had partnered together locally and with Paul to bring this good news of Jesus to all people everywhere. And what he says is this partnership, the fact that this is what they are passionate about, bringing the good news to all the nations, is a sign that God is at work among them and will continue to establish them and grow them up in Christ. And it's significant for us to realize here that Paul was not a lone ranger. We often think of him as this strong, I can do it all kind of person, but as we see very clearly, he was very dependent on other people, other churches, other partners for him to do the work he was called to do. An example of this, I got an email from a friend of mine named Peter this week. And Peter, I would say, is a partner of mine in the gospel. He's someone that I discipled many years ago. He calls and emails often to encourage me, to ask me what he can be praying for me. But Peter is also making disciples in California. And so he is partnering with me in that regard too, that he is doing the same work that I'm doing, just in a different locale. And so this is the sense that Paul is trying to communicate to the Philippians. You are, I just thank God for your partnership with me, your support of me, but also your commitment to the same things I'm committed to where you are. The thing I want to make very clear to us as we're looking at this whole idea of being a family on mission is that being a family on mission, going further out as a family on mission, requires a partnership among God's people. There's no other way we can do the work that we're doing without a partnership on many different levels. We see partnerships all over. We kind of understand how that works. We see it in sports. The Pacers did pretty good this year. I don't know if you heard that. And they did it because they were committed to this, to the same goal, but in partnership with each other, each player fulfilling their role. We understand that in sports. We see partnerships In church, Sunday morning happens because there are a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. And without that partnership, we wouldn't be able to have the services that we have. Vacation Bible School is coming, a huge partnership of so many people working together toward the same goal. Our Ecuador mission, we could go on and on. But what about our partnership locally in influencing our community? That's the question we're beginning to ask. What does that look like for Riverside? How can we partner together to have a greater impact together? And that's where we're going to begin today. What has God already given to the Riverside family that equips us uniquely to serve him in our community, in our city? We want to begin with a conversation, a journey together. And that's what the city outreach team is going to facilitate. When you came in, you hopefully found this on your seat. So we're going to be asking you for your input this morning during the service, and so that we can begin this conversation. What has God given you? How has he gifted you? What has he put in you already? So that together we can look at that and say, oh, okay, here are some things that we see in Riverside that God's already done here. Now, I want to make it clear that we're not going to publish this on Facebook and say, here's Ralph's thing. That's not what this is about. It doesn't mean you're obligated to anything you write down. That's not what this is about. It's about beginning a discernment process about who we are as a community. And we can't really begin that process unless we understand more of who we are. So, let's observe some characteristics as we get started in this. First of all, God's given us passions. God's given us passions. What do you think Paul's passions were? What strikes you about what Paul was passionate about?
Sharing the gospel.
Sharing the gospel, right? That comes very clear. Towards the end, people are sharing Jesus with people just to get him in trouble because he's in jail. And he goes, oh, well, at least the gospel is being preached, right? At least people are talking about Jesus. I mean, that was his passion. That's what gave him joy. What about the Philippians? What do you think were some of the passions of the Philippians?
Service and support.
That's right. They were passionate about helping Paul do his ministry. It's beautiful, right? I mean, they were fully in on that. So God's given each of us burdens or passions or longings, things that we really care about, things that break our hearts. And in a partnership, these passions are meant to complement each other, not compete, but to complement in how they fit together to accomplish a single goal. Again, Vacation Bible School is an example of that, because we don't all have a passion to work with kids. I'm one of them. I love kids, but it scares me to death to be leading a team or teaching this class or something like that. But I can do something else. And so for Vacation Bible School to happen, there's a lot of different passions at work to bring about a ministry for the kids. And so it's the same thing in a church. We all have longings and passions, we have burdens, and somehow those are meant to fit together. So we want to begin to identify and celebrate those burdens, those passions, those longings God has given you. And so I invite you to take out the passion sheet. Maybe you've already filled it out. We're going to take a few minutes for you to, the best you can, answer these questions. We're going to have some music, some singing while we're doing that. And I just want to also mention, as we're doing this, it may feel awkward. I've heard people refer to, well, it sounds like I'm boasting or prideful or something. I want us to look at it a different way. And that is, first of all, it's a celebration of what God's given you, which means it's an act of worship. Lord, look at what you have done for me. Look at what you have put in me. And without acknowledging those things, we're not acknowledging the gifts and the ways in which God has blessed us. So, passion, you've got some. So take some time now to write some of these responses. All right, how'd that go? Good. I know there's things God has put in you. So as we said, this may not be completely complete, but it's a beginning. And like we said, we're trying to begin a conversation where we start talking about these things, where we start exploring them, where we start thinking more about them. Well, what am I passionate about? Things we don't normally always think about. As we move on, we also see that a partnership among God's people includes connections. God's given us all connections. Did you notice in the text, who was Paul connected to? Or just in general, who was Paul connected to?
All God's people.
All God's people, wherever he went. So here in wherever he's at, Caesarea or Rome, he's connected to the local church. What else?
Government officials.
The government officials. He's connected to the palace guard. Somehow they all know what he's in jail for. So he has developed relationships with them. Anyone else?
Women, slaves.
Women and slaves. He's connected with the church in Philippi. We know he wrote letters to lots of churches. So Paul was a man of connections, right? How about the Philippians? Who are they connected to? Right, the places where Paul is, they're connected to him, and through him, they're connected to these other people, these other churches. We know they're connected to Timothy and Silas because of the relationships. So you begin to notice that these people were connected with a vast network of people. They were pretty good networkers, I guess, as we would term it. Paul and the Philippian church were partnering with others and using those God-given connections to continue and further their mission. If you remember last week, we were looking at Paul in Athens, and through his relationships with some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, he met people who were part of the Areopagus, which was that ruling council in Athens, which ended up giving him an opportunity to go and speak with them. So it's just a natural part of life as we understand it, but it's also a natural part of the work of sharing the good news of Jesus. So Riverside doesn't have to go do our own thing. We can look at what resources or partners we have connections with already. Maybe there are things that we are already connected to that we just need to recognize and realize that here's an avenue God has given us because of the relationships we have, because of the connections that we have. And so you'll find another sheet, and I left mine down here because I was filling it out. And it's the green one called Connections. And so just as we've done before, we're going to take some time for you to reflect on that and just begin to respond to these questions. Again, it's a celebration of the connections that God's already given you, as well as an act of worship. Who has God connected you with as an acknowledgement of his grace? So let's go ahead and do that, and feel free to sing while you're filling things out as well. The last piece we're going to look at is that God's given us all skills and gifts. Going back to our text and what you know of Paul, what do you think Paul was gifted in, or what were some of his skills? Connecting people, big time. Public speaking, though he did say he was a little bit scared, but he still did it, so he could speak publicly. What else? Yes, he was trained as a Pharisee. Remember, he was an expert in law, so he That was part of his training. So he knew a lot about the scripture. He could talk a lot about arguing about the Messiah out of the Old Testament, which was the only scripture there at the time. What else?
Leadership.
He was a big-time leader. He was an apostle, wasn't he? He just could not stop pushing out, moving out, keeping the gospel going out. That was a huge gift he had given. What about the Philippians? What do you see in them as some of the gifts they had? Skills, abilities. They were givers, weren't they? What else? They were full of hospitality, caring for people, caring for Paul, hosting them when they were in the town. Anything else? I think one thing that we can see is they were encouragers. Paul found so much encouragement from his relationship with them, so somehow they were gifted in encouraging others. A lot of gifts that we could go on and talk about, but it's important to see how all of these gifts and skills and talents equip us to do what God has asked us to do. Like those puzzle pieces. You could say, well, the Philippians weren't as gifted as Paul, but I would never say that. Of course, they were equally as gifted and skilled as Paul, just in different ways. And it took all of those skills and trainings and gifting to go together, to accomplish together far more than Paul could have done on his own. He was not a lone ranger. He couldn't have done it on his own. And the Philippians certainly couldn't have furthered the gospel the way they did without the gifts that Paul added as well. So we don't want to get caught up in what gifts are. What I want to suggest to you is that all of our training, all of our education, all of the skills we have, all of the spiritual gifts we have, it's all given to us by God, isn't it? And so all of it is God's. And so we want to acknowledge everything that we can do. And again, I just want to encourage us that it's for His glory, that whatever we can be used for Him. And so you have an orange sheet, skills, that I just want to encourage you to continue to worship God by acknowledging, well, what has God given me? What can I do? As a celebration and as well as a time to worship God for what He has given you to do for His glory. So let's take some time to fill out and respond to these questions. And again, if you want to sing while you're working, that'd be great. Well, with nothing else, that we begin to understand or maybe see more clearly that going further out as a family on mission requires a partnership among God's people on many different levels. So today we're beginning a journey together to discern how can we partner together for a greater impact in loving our city. As a picture of our partnership of being a family on mission sent to be Christ's body in the world, we want to wrap up our service in response by inviting you to take one word from what you've written down on your surveys, on your questionnaires. One word that you have used to describe some part of yourself. You've written hopefully a few words there. So just pick one that describes a part of you. And what we're going to invite you to do is to go into the back of the sanctuary there and write that word on our shoe that's helping us go further out. And what we really wanted to be is a kind of a representation or an example, an image of our diversity, who we are as a body, represented by these words. And to give a sense that we are different and yet together in partnership. We'd also invite you that as you go back to write your word, that you'd also bring your sheets, and there are somewhere, there are baskets for you to put them in. And our lovely assistants will help you with all of that. So as we respond to God's word to us today, then we invite you to take your sheets back and hand those in, and then write your word in whatever color you'd like on the shoe back there as we worship God.